Take your Bible, if you will. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, a couple of things. If your cell phone's on, make sure you turn it off so it doesn't go off during our service. And then let's make sure that we don't talk, don't be making noises and things like that during the preaching. Of course, if you want to say amen, agree, you may do that. But let's make sure that we're giving our attention to the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 21, then find verse number 17. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 17. We're going to read together a lengthy passage, and then we'll let it launch us into the sermon. Would you stand with me, please? 1 Kings chapter 21. Look at verse number 17. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha and the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city of dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowl of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." The sermon tonight is called, Don't Sell Out. Don't sell out. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Thy presence is the most important part of this evening. Thank God for the visitors. Thank God for the regular church members that are here. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the air conditioning. Thank you for everything that's going on. But God, the most important thing is your presence. Spirit of God, reach down from heaven, meet with us in a supernatural way. May we have a meeting tonight, not where we walk away having enjoyed each other, but where we walk away having enjoyed God. But most of all, may you enjoy us. May you be glorified. May you be uplifted. And may you be pleased with the truth that will be taught from the Bible tonight. Bless us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Let me retell the story that I just read to you. Naboth had a vineyard. It was in a place called Jezreel. Ahab wanted that vineyard. He said to Naboth, the owner, he said, give it to me. And he said, I'll trade you something for it. I'll buy it off of you. Naboth, the owner of the vineyard, said, I can't. The Lord forbid me to do that. I can't sell it to you. It's my inheritance. It was passed down to me from my dad, and it's supposed to stay in the family. Ahab said, I want it. Now, sell it to me. Trade it to me, if you will, and pay attention. Look right up this way. Sell it to me. Give it to me. I'll trade you something for it, but I want it. And Naboth said, I just can't do it. Now, Ahab went home. The Bible says he went and laid on his bed, and he began to pout. He turned his face against the wall. He started pouting. He wouldn't eat his supper. His wife, some of you that don't know the Bible, you're about to hear a name that you've heard before. Her name was Jezebel. Now, Ahab's married to Jezebel, and if you've heard anything about Jezebel, most people don't name their daughters Jezebel. But Ahab is married to a Jezebel, real life Jezebel. Well, Ahab is pouting in his bed, won't eat his supper. He's pouting because he can't have this vineyard. Jezebel came to her little hen-pecked honey and began to comfort him. She was patting his head and rubbing his belly. And Ahab told Jezebel, said, I tried to buy that vineyard out there off of Naboth, and that fella, he would not sell it to me. And he whined to her, and finally she said, you know what, sweetie, you little whining honey pumpkin darling, I'm going to get that for you. I'll take care of that big, bad, mean-spirited Naboth, and I'll get you that vineyard. So this is what Jezebel did. She uses Ahab's name and his influence and spreads a lie about Naboth, the owner of the vineyard. And the lie was, she went around telling people that Naboth had blasphemed God. Well, it's not like in America today. You blaspheme God in America today, they'll laugh about it at 11 o'clock Saturday night TV and make it into a joke. But back then, you blaspheme God, they'd take you out and stone you. And she spread a vicious, wicked lie about Naboth that he had blasphemed God. The people in Jezreel rose up against Naboth, and they took stones, and they beat him. They stoned him to death. When Jezebel heard the news, she said to her henpecked husband, honey, you can go get that vineyard now that you wanted. God also heard about this atrocity. God heard about what Ahab and Jezebel had done. So God got a hold of a man of God. And thank God for men of God. God got a hold of Elijah and said, you go down there, I'll guarantee you, God said, Ahab is going to be walking through the field or through that vineyard. Ahab, you go down there and meet him. And I want you to go down there and have a conversation with him. Now, I want you to picture this. Ahab, he is as happy as he can be. He now has that vineyard that he wanted. He's down at his vineyard. He's walking along. He's singing. He's clapping his hands. He's kind of running around like a woman with $1 million gift card to Walmart. He is just down there having him a good old time. And all of a sudden, standing at the end of the vineyard, there was Ahab, the man of God. And there was Elijah, the man of God. And Elijah looked out at Ahab, and Ahab knew right away. He said, oh no, that's that Baptist preacher. And I know I'm in trouble. And old Elijah stuck his bony finger out, and he pointed it right into Ahab's face. And he said this, Elijah says to Ahab, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick your blood. In other words, God had sent Elijah to pass judgment on Ahab for this wicked thing that Ahab and his wife had done. And then the prophet of God said, not only that, in regard to your wife, Jezebel, the dogs will eat her. Now, this doesn't sound like a good thing. Last thing I want is some preacher telling me I'm about to become Alpo snacks, you know? But that's exactly what took place. And Elijah said this. Elijah says to Ahab, and this is where the sermon comes from tonight. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 20, Elijah says, thou hast sold thyself. You sold yourself. What do you mean? You sold out. You sold out. Then in 1 Kings 21, verse number 25, it says, Ahab, which did sell himself. Now, here's what I see. I see two people, two main characters in this story. You have Ahab, the one who sold out, and you have Naboth, who said, I won't sell out. See, remember, Ahab had tried to tempt Naboth into selling out. And Naboth said, I can't. That's not what God wants. Oh, but Ahab said, I'll sell out. I'll sell out. I'll do whatever it takes to get what I want. And I'm going to make sure I please me. But Naboth said, I'm going to please God. Now, I hope that you're able to say this. I hope by God's grace I can say this. I don't want to sell out. I hope that someday I'll be able to face God as a preacher, and God will be able to say, Jeff Owens, you were not for sale while you were down there. You were not for sale. You know, folks, there's some things that we ought to do and things that we ought to believe, and they ought not change no matter what is offered us, no matter what opportunity comes our way. So, by God's grace, with God's power and strength, I want to say tonight, Jeff Owens is not for sale. I'm not for sale. And let me, if I could, just take that thought in the next few minutes, and I want to expound on it just a little. Folks, I don't think we ought to be for sale in the area of God's truth. I don't think you ought to be for sale when it comes to the truth of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. You heard it sang earlier, but let me repeat it. I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And I believe that we're to use a Bible that is pure, inspired. We're to use a Bible that comes from God. And I believe that's the King James Bible. I only support organizations who do the same. It's not, you know, some people say, well, the King James Bible, it's one of many. No, it's one of a kind. I believe it's inspired. I believe it is infallible. I believe it is the perfect Word of God. And that's what I believe, and I'm not going to sell out to do anything else. You say, well, I'm sitting here and I don't believe that. Well, everybody has the right to be wrong if they want to be, but I'm going to stand for the old King James Bible. I had to eliminate an Awana's program in a church because they started using other versions of the Bible. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to sell out. I'm going to keep using the old Bible. Hey, look, if it was good enough for Charles Spurgeon, if it was good enough for Jack Hiles, and if it was good enough for the old timers, it's good enough for you and I. I'll tell you something. You go to the average so-called Christian bookstore today, and you virtually have to order a King James Bible. Now they've got the NIVKEYMOUSE. They've got those all over the place. But you get the old King James Bible, it's like they're trying to phase it out. Well, they can do what they want. Hitler tried to get rid of it, and he couldn't. You'll never get rid of the never-dying, ever-living Word of God. It's just not going to happen. Bible colleges, they call themselves Bible colleges, but they won't use the right Bible. I think they ought to take the word Bible college off their title then if they're not going to pick the right one. And let me tell you the reason for all the new versions of the Bible. So they can make money off of them. They're making money off of them. What have they done? They're selling the truth. They're selling out on the truth. And now, but it's not just the Bible. I don't believe that we should sell out in regard to the truth of God. I believe, and I still believe in a thing called confrontational soul winning. Now, some of you don't know what that is, but what that is that's where we go out to a lost and dying world and we tell them if they don't get saved that they're not going to go to heaven and they're going to go to hell. You say, but that's offensive. I know, but hell's real bad. Hell's real bad. Now, confrontational evangelism doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. You don't have to be a jerk, but if you care about people, you ought to have the courage to speak up and say, there's a heaven, there's a hell, and if you don't get saved, you won't go to heaven. They say, well, I think everybody has their own belief about getting to heaven. You're right, but there's only one that'll get you to heaven. You'll either get saved through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, or you won't get saved, and you will go to hell. Nobody preaches hell anymore, but there's still a hell, and people are still going there. Don't sell out on truths like that. Don't sell out on the King James Bible. Don't sell out on the importance of soul winning. Don't sell out. Hey, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist by conviction, not just as an alternative. And you say, oh, I am so shocked. If you'll take a good long look at my sign out front, it says Baptist right there. I know everybody else practices false advertisement. I don't. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I'm a Baptist because I believe that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And just so you know, John Baptist was not his last name. It's how God labeled him. I still believe in the New Testament Baptist Church with a big B. I still believe that it is the blood that saves us from our sin. Do you understand that the denominations are wanting to take the word blood out of their songs and they're wanting to take it away because they say it's too gory? Then they stay up and watch on television till 3 o'clock in the morning the zombies. And they'll say that's too gory, that thing of the crucifixion. I've got news for you. It was gory, and I'm not going to change preaching the gospel that includes a crucifixion. But don't sell out in regard to the truth of God. Don't sell out. I still believe the Bible teaches very clearly we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
The worst, the most damnable heresy known to man is when people teach you get saved through your works. That'll send somebody straight to hell. I can't think of a worse doctrine than the doctrine that lies to people about salvation. I still believe that Jesus was virgin born. I still believe that the Holy Spirit of God is given to make a difference in the lives of people. And I'm not going to shy away from talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit. Just because others abuse the doctrine and misuse it, I'm not going to stop preaching on it. I still believe that we ought to live holy and separated lives. Oh my! Hey, preachers used to preach on the subject of separation all the time. That there ought to be differences between men and women. There are just some things in this life you ought not do because it's just wrong to do. But they don't do that much anymore. And you say, why? Because people are liable to leave the church. Well, we have too many people right now anyhow. And so every once in a while, just preaching a sermon that stirs somebody up gives us a couple extra chairs here and there. I still believe that Jesus is coming again. I still believe once you get saved, you're always saved. It's called security of the believer. I still believe in ecclesiastical separation. I won't yoke up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and every religious yahoo in town so we can get together, sing kumbaya, clap our hands, let our eyes roll back in our head, and feel like we had a holy movement from God. Sounds to me like you would just need to take some Maalox if you needed a movement. I associate with people that believe right. They believe the Bible right. They believe it. I'm not a part of the local ministerial assassination. I believe that we are to be separate from people that don't believe right. So I say to you, don't sell out on the truth. But secondly, I'm not for sale when it comes to my preaching either. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. When I came here to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church and I candidated, I told them, and they know this, my preaching is my business. And so you know, church, I love you and I thank God for you, but I don't work for you. I work for God. I get my orders from headquarters. And there's nobody under the sound of my voice that tries to tell me what I can preach, but just let me make it real clear to you in case you get to thinking it. You won't tell me what to preach. I've never been told what to preach by anybody, and I don't plan to start. There's only one person that has any say-so about it, and it's my wife. I was taught a long time ago I'm to go to God and find out what God wants to be said in the church that God gives me to pastor, and that's what I do. That's what I do. Right, look, you join our church, we'll have a business meeting. You get one vote. And you can vote at that business meeting. When it comes to my sermons, you get no votes. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more. Or Jacqueline, I'm sorry. And I say that, and I'm not trying to run you off or make you mad, but you do need to understand. There are a lot of people that like the spirit of our church, and a lot of people like what goes on around here. But you'll have to understand, we do it according to the Bible around here. This church is not ran by a board. It's not ran that way. And you need to understand that the preacher is to give answer to Almighty God. And I would rather give answer to you than God, to be quite honest with you. It'd be easier to give answer to you than God because God's expectation and requirement is far higher and far more pure and holy than yours. But I am required to give answer to God. And my preaching, it is not for sale. I will decide what will be preached here, not based on trying to please the crowd. I've got to please the Lord. The preaching's not for sale. My orders come from headquarters, not a denomination. My orders come from headquarters, which is God, not from a board. I don't get my sermons from some other man. I get it from God. There's not a public opinion poll that we take around here. We don't have a suggestion box. You don't fill out a suggestion and say, Pastor, I think you ought to preach on this. What will end up happening is you'll get a sermon about not telling the pastor what to preach is what you'll get. There's no college out there that has a control over me. Not one. I've got an alma mater. Matter of fact, I've graduated from 4 different Bible colleges with 5 different degrees. Not a one of them would dare try to tell me what to preach. And they know that. They know that. You say, why? They would get a sermon about shut your mouth, back off, get away from me. You don't tell me what to preach. The pew does not tell me what to preach. A deacon board, I've got some of the finest deacons on the face of the earth. They're good, godly, holy men. They're submissive, but they've never tried to tell me what to preach. And you say, well, I have money. Well, la-di-da. So does Donald Trump. And he's not going to tell me what to preach. Having money does not have any control over what the preacher preaches. There needs to be in our country some people that give answer to God and do it the right way. There's no Kmart blue light special in regard to my sermons. It's a little bit like you go to the army and you go to the mess hall. You know what? When you go to the mess hall, you don't go in and say, give me a steak and a couple eggs. Make them over easy. No. You step up. They slop it on your plate. You eat it or you don't. If you don't, you'll starve. But you're not given much choice. Well, I hate to tell you, this is like a mess hall and I'm going to slop it on your plate. You can eat it, gag on it, do what you want. But what comes from this pulpit, I'll decide that with God's help. So I'm not for sale in regard to my preaching. We should not be for sale in regard to the truth. I don't think we should be for sale in regard to the music around the church either. This will be very good for some of you. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I thank God for good music. You've heard good music tonight. We sing good music here. But you need to understand something. You get to enjoy that music, but ultimately, the music is for Almighty God. As long as God looks down and listens to the music in this church and God said, I like it, that's good enough for me. Say, but Pastor, I want some more of that honky-tonk kind of stuff. It won't be happening around here. It's not going to happen. If you want country western music, you go down to Joe's Bar and Grill, get you a Budweiser, go down there, get yourself drunk, and drink with the people that want to sing like that. But we don't do that around here. I know, and I know some of you right now are saying we were doing so well to this point right here, Pastor. I've got to tell you, it's not going to get better for the next 10 minutes. It's going to get worse. In regard to music in the church, Black Sabbath used to sing a song. It's still on their albums. Young people, you say, what's an album? An album is a big, black, round, flat thing. It's like a CD on steroids. Black Sabbath had an album called We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll. And you know what? People have sold out. They've sold themselves out for the kind of music that makes them tingle. Churches are selling out for the new contemporary style. Folks, we're old-time religion here. We're going to stay old-time religion. We're not changing. And that's just the way it is. What you would have to do is if you want to go contemporary, you'll have to get rid of me. And let me make something very clear to you. I never plan to change churches again. I will fight you tooth and nail all the way to the death. I'll not be run off, shut up, shut down, stop ever again. Never. Never. You say, well, we'll change you. You have your hands full changing me. I preach 37,000 sermons, and some of you women, you think you're pretty tough. You got a tiger by the tail with me. I'll guarantee it. I try to be kind and loving and gentle, but I can tell a hag in a moment. And you will find out that you won't change me. You won't change the style of ministry that we have. You won't change the kind of music. You say, well, I'll just leave. Well, what's stopping you? Because it's not your job to change the church. Not at all. I still love Amazing Grace. It's still a sweet sound to me, and I like it to be sung in such a way that I can understand the words. We're still going to sing, What Can Wash Away My Sin? We're going to sing, Give Me That Old-Time Religion, and This World Is Not My Home. They told me this. They said, when you go to Milwaukee and preach, you better not preach against the beer. You know what I did? I went to Milwaukee and preached against their beer. I went to Canada and they said, you better not preach against sodomy here because if you do, you're going to get in trouble. You know what I did? I went ahead and preached against sodomy while I was there. They told me when you go to Kentucky, you better not preach against tobacco because if you do, there's so many people there, you're going to get in trouble that way. Did you know that I preach against tobacco when I'm in Kentucky? Did you know they told me I couldn't preach against the nudity on the beaches in Florida? But you know what I do? I go to Florida and I preach against nudity on the beaches. They told me you better watch out hitting that honky-tonk music in North Carolina. I've got news for you. I'm going to preach against the honky-tonk music in Carolina. I don't think your music has to be dead. I don't think your music has to be empty. I think it can have life and it should have life. But if it affects your foot more than it affects your heart, if you're just looking for something to pull you back in to your country and pull you back into your rock and roll and to pull you back in to the trash that you were supposed to come out of, we don't plan to cater to you with that here. Too many Baptists are watching too much religious television, patterning their music after what they see on television. I'm not trying to keep up with TBN. It's the old time religion. You know, I would not take someone that's into contemporary music and put them in charge of my music program. Chris Edwards is I'd like to say he's an ex-Marine, but I can't find any Marine that says he's an ex. Here's a Marine. He doesn't wiggle when he talks. He's not preppy. He's not a pretty boy. And he understands music. I want an old-time religion person in charge of my music. And people in our music program, let me tell you something, folks. I'm not looking for Hollywood entertainers. You say, I have such a beautiful voice. Well, if you don't want to go soul winning, and you don't want to act right and dress right, and you don't want to live right, I don't need you to sing around here. You say, well, the church up the road would like to have me. Well, go sing for them right now if you want. But you're going to have to understand something. This is really all about purity. It's all about doing things God's way. Hey, let me tell you, don't sell out when it comes to truth. Don't sell out when it comes to preaching. Don't sell out in regard to music. Don't sell out when it comes to the old time religion. I love this verse, claimed this verse years ago, still have right to it. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. I believe in the old time religion. I believe in still having altar calls. You don't understand. There are churches everywhere that stopped inviting people to come to the altar because they say it's too socially unacceptable. It's offensive. It's embarrassing. Well, you know something? We all need to humble ourselves, and sometimes we just need to face the fact that we ought to kneel in the presence of God and just ask God to help us. We're going to keep having altar calls. And as much as we can, which is most all the time when people get saved here, we deal with them right down front. You say, down front? Yeah, in front of God and everybody. They were doing that years and years before you and I came on the scene, and America was in better shape back then. Hey, look, hard preaching is going to continue to be delivered from this pulpit. Now, I'll love you if you were here this morning. I loved on you. I helped you with your burden. But if we're going to keep our church pure and clean, we're not going to allow the Christian schools to set the standards around here. It's going to have to be an old-fashioned, leather-lung, hell-fighting preacher that's not afraid to say what needs to be said. And I'm not mad at you, and I don't want to be your enemy. But I will tell you this, I believe in the old-time religion. If you're looking for a contemporary-type church, you did not find one here. If you say, but I think it's on the horizon, there are a lot of churches that's got an old-time preacher that's hanging in there, but everybody in the wing is just contemporary, waiting for the old fella to pass off the scene so the young buck can come along and destroy the church. I've got news for you. It's going to be a good while before I die. But when I do, I'll do everything I can to make sure the next guy coming along is a more of a fanatic than I am. I'm not ashamed of the old-time religion. Purity is not out here. I still happen to believe that young people ought to stay pure and virgin. I think they ought to keep their hands off of each other, not be necking and petting, and wait till they get married. I also think that married people ought to be pure, and they ought to have the purest intent toward one another, and you shouldn't be having any type of inappropriate relationship with any other person of the opposite sex. And I realize there's a new morality, yes, but there's an old God that has some good advice for you, and that's to be pure. I'm not for sale. I say, give me that old-time religion. You know something? I'm not against some church having a coffee shop in their church. But the problem is, most of them that have coffee shops in their church don't have soul winning in their church. I got a problem with somebody that can go get a cappuccino but can't go get somebody out of hell. Hey, don't be for sale in regard to separation from the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Some of you are going to destroy your life with a television. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if you watched some TV if I thought you read your Bible as much. Let me ask you a question. Do you read your Bible as much as you watch television? So you think Hollywood is a greater and a more important influence on you than God's Word? That's enough to convict the crowd. I don't understand anybody that thinks rock and roll music's okay. You know better. It won't be in heaven. It really does not matter, folks, what our society, they've got this thing that they call being politically correct. You say, what are you, Pastor? Biblically correct. Men are supposed to be like men. Women are supposed to be like women. Let the earrings be on the girls. Let the skirts be on the boys. We can't figure out. I didn't make a mistake. I know what I'm doing. Let me pastor the church. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. This business of us opening up our restrooms to whatever you choose, come on. How stupid can we get? Look, we're selling out. The churches across our country have sold out through the years. They've sold out. What happens is, as the world gets worse, we just tag along behind them. You say, well, we're not exactly like the world. You're like the world used to be. You know, if you would have watched I Love Lucy, you know that her and Ricky, I know the Bible well, you know that her and Ricky, when that show was on the air, they never put them in the same bed. Never. They didn't do that. They wouldn't have, and those were lost people. And today, if somebody's not sleeping with somebody on television, you think it's boring. Hey, don't sell out. Don't sell out to the opposite sex. Husband, keep your eyes on your wife. Wife, keep your emotions with your husband. You should not have a sexual affair with anybody, and you shouldn't be having an emotional affair with anybody either. And I'll tell you something, if you're having an emotional affair with someone, the sex is on its way. And you young people, you wait until you get married before you consummate. And one of the best ways to keep that from happening is just keep your hands off of each other. Some of you old-timers need to speak up sometimes when I say that. We live in a sex-crazed society. You're going to end up with a disease. You're going to end up pregnant out of wedlock or have someone pregnant out of wedlock. You'll embarrass yourself and hurt yourself. And I always say this here. If it happens to you, I'll help you. I'll be your friend. I'll help you through it. But I'm just trying to warn you, don't let it happen. Don't sell out. I've tried through the years to not let my ministry be for sale. The Southern Baptist Convention sold out a long time ago. And there are so many independent fundamentalists that are selling. I had a millionaire come to me one time. He offered me money, and I asked him, I said, well, tell me something. If you give money to my ministry, what do you want out of it? He said, well, there's just a few things that I would like to personally accomplish. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not for sale. He said, I'm going to give you a lot of money. I said, keep your money. I'd rather be right with God and you keep your money than for me to take your money and you think that you have some control over me. My influence is not sold to the highest bidder in fundamentalism. Parents, let me tell you something. You parents, while your kids are little, it's easy to be a fundamentalist. Because how much trouble does your second grader get into? How much sexual passion do you think your third grader's got to deal with? But you know what happens? They grow up a little bit, and they become teenagers, and they spot a boy or they spot a girl, and then suddenly there's all sorts of clothes they want to wear that they ought not wear. And there's music they want to listen to that they ought not listen to. Back when they were in third grade, you didn't have a problem because you were quite the parent because you had a 9-year-old that you could control. Oh, but when they become teenagers, parents sell out everywhere when their kids become teenagers because the parent will not say, no, we're not going to do that. You want to be a friend more than you want to be a parent. Now, I understand something about that whole thing. I do want you to be a friend to your child, but there's sometimes you got to be the bad guy. There's sometimes you say, it's not going to happen. Now, for those of you that are tyrants, and that's all you do all day long, is go, no, 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 no. You need to calm down, go to your room for a little while. But there are some of you, you're weak-kneed, and you got a jelly backbone, and you're afraid to say to your kids, we're not going to do that. We don't do that here. Do you have control of your home? Well, we need to go on to the next point. I can always tell when we need to move on. You say, why are you not for sale? Well, I've already been bought. I've already been bought. The Bible says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. I've been bought. I will admit, I sold out. But I hope I sold out to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and the abruptness of my words have affected you, I don't want my personality to hurt you. But I do want us to all understand, we're not to sell out to the world. The old-time religion has become less and less popular. But I happen to believe this. I happen to believe there's an element in our society that's still looking for the old-time religion. I happen to believe there are some people out there that are not afraid to have a pastor that says there is a right and a wrong, and you're doing the wrong, and it needs to stop. I think there's people out there that want that. But even if they were not, our church is growing. This is how I believe. It's not a shock to most of you. Most of you are not sitting out there saying, "Oh my, I didn't know that." Most of you already knew that. But I'll tell you this. If our church was not growing, and if there were only three people in this room, I'd still preach what I'm preaching. Because I'm not going to preach it because it either makes my church grow or not grow. I'm going to preach it because it's the right thing. It's the right thing. And what was said was this. Elijah said about Ahab, "You sold out." Folks, don't sell out on God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. According to my watch, it is now 16 minutes after the hour. I've tried to keep my word to you. Have you sold out? Some of you teenagers, you have control over your mom and dad. You need to get right with God. You're misleading your family. There are people in this room, you used to be in an old-time religion church. What's wrong with you? Have you sold out? Used to believe right. Have you sold out? Let's not sell out. If we do sell out to God. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, I don't want to sell out on God. I don't want to do that. I want to push the reset button for the old-time religion. I'm not going to be ashamed to be an old-time religion Christian." And God has spoken to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand? Hands up everywhere. You know what some of you ought to do? You ought to come down here and maybe seal it with a prayer. There might be somebody here, it's time, if you've been saved and baptized after your salvation, it might be time for you to yoke up with the right kind of church. Need to find some place to call home. But if God has spoken to your heart, you want to use this altar, we're going to have an altar call in a moment. The pianist is going to begin to play. And we're going to stand. And then if you need this altar, you come. She'll begin to play right now. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come. You used to believe the old-time way. There are areas in your life, though, where you are shortchanging yourself. You're shortchanging your family. You're shortchanging your church. You're shortchanging your God. Some of you are very satisfied in doing nothing and not going forward for God. Very satisfied. Are you where you used to be, or are you in worse shape? Don't sell out. Don't sell out. There are some of you say, "I believe everything you said," and I think that's how we ought to live here at the church. You might have missed it. I don't think we ought to just live this way at the church. I think we're supposed to live this way at home. We're not supposed to live for God at church and then live for ourselves at home. We're not to listen to music that pleases God at church and then go home and listen to a bunch of demonic music at our house. There are parents in here, you ought to get some of the games that your children play and their video games, you ought to get some of that under control. With all the filthy nudity and the rock and roll music that's laced through it. There's some parents in here that need to get your internet under control at your house. There's trash going on that ought not be going on. It's going to destroy you. Thank God for the elements of social media that helps us to contact each other, spread the gospel, and do good with it. But I'm going to tell you, Facebook, Twitter, so many of them are destroying marriages and destroying people. If you can't control it, just stay off of it. And I apologize. There's some of you, you say, "I've just never heard anybody being so straightforward." Let me tell you something. All preachers that were worth anything in years gone by said the kind of things that I'm saying tonight. I may sound like an oddball to you, but I would have been the norm 50 years ago when preachers would go ahead and just say it. And I'm not your enemy. I'm not your enemy. There's not a person in here that I don't like. There's not a person in here that I will not love. But I will tell you the difference between right and wrong. You say, "Well, you preach like that, you won't ever get close to me." Well, I'll preach like this because it's the right thing to do. And if I've even got to give up a friendship with you to tell the truth, I will. In eternity, you'll wish that you would have thought differently about it. And it was said, "Ahab, you
sold out. Let's not sell out. Thank you, Rachel.